Union University presents Faculty Focus, a series of podcasts illuminating the benefits of academic research leave. Faculty members at Union are awarded research leaves that vary in length from a semester to a full academic year. These concentrated studies frequently result in new publications and updated material for classroom teaching, but each experience is unique. Join us now as we document and showcase another research leave experience at Union University.
Welcome to Union University. I'm Mark Kaler, and today we are with Patty Hamilton, Associate Professor of English here at Union University. Patty, welcome.
Thank you.
So glad you're with us. We want to hear about the recent research leave that you completed, and let me just start by asking you to briefly describe what it was you did during that time.
Okay. I think I'm the first person to take a whole year's research leave, so that really gave me 15 months when all was said and done, when you tacked on the summertime. To do several projects, and I had proposed more than one project. So I had really, my specialty area is 18th century British lit, and I had in mind one particular project, but it just so happened that right at the beginning of my leave, I came across a call for papers for a volume an editor on the West Coast was putting together on 18th century British women novelists from the 1750s. And that resonated with me because I had done my doctoral dissertation on mid-century women novelists. And so I resurrected something that I had begun but had never really gone anywhere with from my chapter of my dissertation. And I corresponded with the editor, and she said she was open to my idea. So I spent really the first summer of my leave catching up on the criticism that had been published in the last 10 years. I had a lot of homework to do.
That's a lot of literature. I mean, you're spending days reading.
Day after day after day after day, and rereading to really digest the arguments and incorporate them into my own thinking. But that project had a deadline, so that was some good incentive for me. So all the reading I did informed my interpretation. And what I did in that article was interpret the next to the last chapter of a novel by Charlotte Lennox called The Female Quixot. The British say Quixot, we say Quixote. It's a parody of Don Quixote in some ways. And I kind of read the novel's ending differently from other critics, and I supported that by doing a reading of the novel against a framework of empiricism and Lockean psychology. And so the good news was that I sent it off to the editor by the deadline, and 2 months later got an acceptance on that project.
Is that pretty unusual? That's kind of a quick turnaround.
It is a quick turnaround in most cases when you submit to a journal. Since this was a book project, depending on how many submissions the editor's getting, you know, the turnaround can be faster. But there was no guarantee when I started out that I was in. So that was really happy news. What happened in the process of drafting that article was I came to the end of it and I realized, you know, there's more here. There's another question that's bugging me. And I think a lot of academics, you know, find something that has a question at the core of it that they've just got to figure out the answer to across different disciplines. And I hadn't been planning to do a second article, but I just wanted to know the answer. And so I took the plunge. And this one felt, in some senses, more risky because I was delving into some primary research with this one. And I think whether you're in the humanities or sciences, when you're doing real research, you don't know what the outcome is. You don't know in a scientific experiment if your hypothesis is going to test out by the data you collect. You know? So there's some built-in suspense, I guess, to the project. So I wasn't quite sure what I was going to find. But the nice thing was the leave gave me a chance to turn over every single stone that I could come across. And I really did some digging and corresponded at one point with a librarian at the Beinecke Library in Yale about a particular manuscript. And so on. And so that resulted in a second article. And I sent that off to an annual publication, 18th Century Novel, and that was accepted. And so by the time I came back, I had placed both those pieces. And I would say, yeah, that's kind of an unusually fast turnaround time, but it was gratifying, I guess, at the end of that time.
So you're two for two, and you would have been able to do this work had you not had the research leave, but it would have taken a lot longer.
Yeah, the previous article I had published, I spent 3 entire summers and then some break time, you know, Christmas break, spring break, J-term time on. And so, yeah, these were the same length, you know, but could have taken me 3 to 4 years each instead of one year for both.
We're speaking with Patty Hamilton, Associate Professor of English here at Union University. And sort of building on that last comment you just made, how did this benefit you, this research leave? Obviously, you were able to get things done. These articles were done more quickly, but what other benefits were there?
Well, I'm teaching our departmental course in the novel, and I started off teaching an 18th century novel just to kind of put the reading list on a historical trajectory. We date the origins of the novel generally in the early 18th century. And so all this background reading, even though some of it was particular to a different novel than what I'm teaching, it still all goes in a hopper in terms of my cultural understanding of the 18th century and the complexities and understanding what's going on in the narratives and how they reflect the culture. I did some other stuff on my research leave. One thing I had proposed was that I could take the time when I needed a break from the 18th century scholarship to bone up in another area of specialization, which actually has nothing to do with my primary one. I had gotten a course release grant a few years ago to develop a course in American ethnic lit, and I've taught that course twice, but that's a very broad area. It's a relatively new academic area, and so I proposed that I would spend some time reading. I think I committed myself to reading 6 new novels. I actually read 7. And so when I came back off of the leave, I was teaching that course for the second time, and I had just finished reading these novels and kind of enlarging my boundaries in terms of my knowledge in the field. So there was an immediate payoff in that I could go into the classroom and say, well, I just read such and such a book, which was just published 2 years ago. The lit I was looking at in the class is very contemporary, and there's not much criticism on it. So that was a benefit, an immediate correlation to what I do in the classroom.
How will you develop some of these things further in the future?
Well, as a matter of fact, I just got back from 2 conferences in 2 different areas that reflect these 2 particular interest areas of mine. It was kind of a stretch in that they wound up being back-to-back weekends. That was kind of a killer. But I pulled it off, and I found both of them were logical extensions of the work that I have just described to you that I did over the research leave. At one conference, the Tennessee Philological Association conference in Memphis, I presented a paper on a novel that I taught for the first time in that American ethnic course in the fall. And I looked at a very contemporary novel called Shell Shaker by Leanne Howe, and looked at how she develops the notion of true love, which is something we all associate with Western culture. Mm-hmm. We can date it back to Petrarch and the sonnets or whatever, even further. And how she puts it, she's a Choctaw writer based at the University of Illinois, Champaign-Urbana. And she has a PhD an MFA in literature. Teaches creative writing in a research university, but she's a novelist herself, and I looked at the way she spins the notion of true love in her novel to reflect Choctaw beliefs and practices in the 18th century, as it turns out. The book is set in both contemporary times, and it has a backstory set in the 18th century, which is an interesting convergence to my other area. The other conference paper was an outtake, I guess you would say, from my second article. I got to the end of that article, mailed it off to the journal, and I said, you know, there's something else here. And I think that is how scholarship works at its best. What answering one question will unearth a new set of questions that call out to be answered. So I did a conference paper at the Southeastern American Society, 18th Century Society, which was in Charlotte, North Carolina, and looked at the notion of genius that crops up mid-century and posit that the definition of that term genius is changing in a cluster of works.
Patty Hamilton, Associate Professor of English at Union University, we are so grateful that you took a few minutes to tell us about this today. Thank you very much for joining us here at Union University.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Faculty Focus, a production of Union University in Jackson, Tennessee. Union integrates top-tier academics with Christ-centered learning in more than 100 fields of study. Union University, excellence-driven, Christ-centered, people-focused, future-directed.